What's going on, everybody, and welcome to the Other Side of the Firewall podcast, where we talk about the latest and greatest of cybersecurity news, as well as we highlight those movers and shakers and glass ceiling breakers, those people of color who made it to the other side of the proverbial firewall. My name is Ryan Williams, and as always, I'm joined by Shannon Tynes.
What's up? What's up?
What's going on? So, welcome to another week. So it's only the two of us this week. So Chris and Daniel will be back in the next couple weeks coming up. But for the time being, me and Shannon are going to take you through the week. Monday, Tuesday, our topics. Wednesday, discussion. Thursdays, ask a CISSP. And then Fridays, everything else, movies, books, games, all that good stuff. So tune in for all the things, for all the websites that go by our name, either the other side of the firewall, the other side of the FW, or ask a CISSP on all the social medias. And then we also have articles for each one and a newsletter. So newsletter's over 1,100 people now. So definitely thank you for subscribing. And then we're just going to keep rolling with it, just trying to provide the formula. So without further ado, I give it to Shannon.
All right, everybody. This article comes from C4ISRnet.com, written by Colin Demarest, and it's titled Secretive U.S. Cyber Force Deployed 22 Times to Aid Foreign Governments. So just want y'all to know we out there gunning for you. All right. If you out there doing your ransomware attacks and all that dumb stuff, we coming for you. All right. So in this article, they talk about how we had U.S. cyber specialists that were in more than a dozen countries last year, right? And what they're doing is they're trying to fortify networks, expose tools that hackers are using. And this comes from the leader of Cyber Command and the NSA. And so what they called these was hunt forward missions, right? And they were conducted by CyberCom, right? And CyberCom has a unit called Cyber National Mission Force, right? And they did 22 deployments in, again, over a dozen countries last year, right? So we've done stories on this where we've talked about how we had these multinational, like, I don't want to say stings or whatever you would call them. I don't know how you would label them. You know what I mean? Task force.
Task force. Coalition.
That's the proper way to put it. That were going out and they were putting in work. Like, we've done the stories and we've seen it happening. Well, this was all intentional, right? So this is one of those things where, according to this article, other countries have come and asked the U.S. for assistance with these things, right? They're like, hey, come help us out. This is what we're seeing. And, you know, the U.S. is like, yeah, we're all on board on this, right? Because when it comes to cyber, nothing is stovepiped to one country, right? Like, it is far-reaching. It is international when it comes to what these people can do. It's not like they can only reach out to one country and be like, yeah, this is where this is going to stay. No, it's unilateral and international, you know what I'm saying, where they go. But yeah, they go into a little bit of a disclosure of what they've done, right? So this force, they've talked about this in the past. They've worked with Ukraine before the Russian invasion, right? Albania, Latvia. They've mentioned all these different places where they've been and help people. But what this is prompting, though, the fact that this is coming up is the Defense Department seeking money for cyber activities in fiscal year 2025. So fiscal 2025, for those that are the uninitiated, right, may not know what that means, is the government does their fiscal year is from 1 October to 30 September, right? So when they say they're asking for money for fiscal 2025, they're talking about September of 2024. So we're talking 4 months down the line here, what they're asking for. The Defense Department is seeking $14.5 billion for cyber activities, right? So we talk about this all the time about how we want to see the money go into these different actions that are coming up in this current administration. And this is one of the ways that this is happening, right? So this $14.5 billion number is $1 billion more than what they asked for previously, right, from fiscal year 23. What they asked for the previous year. And when, for fiscal year 23, they were only looking for $11.2 billion. So in a matter of 2 years, right, let's say 2 years, right, even though they're talking fiscal years here, this amount has gone up over $3 billion that they're requesting to support these different type of activities, all right? And this is, I love this. Like, I love to see this. Like, you're putting money behind these actions and behind all these things that you want to do related to cyber. We've talked about this, about how we've seen it in the past where stuff will come up. You're like, man, that's a good idea. nothing ever comes to it, right? Money's not put forward to it, but that's a different situation here. But yeah, we got task forces that are out there, right? They're hunting people down. Last year, over a dozen countries, 22 different missions. Like, we out there, we gunning for you, all right? Like, but again, these other countries are asking the U.S. for help, right? Like, they know what we're good at, right, and what we can do, and they're like, hey, help us out. We know we can't do it all on our own, so provide the assistance, and we are happy to do so, all right? But Ryan, what's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, team America right here, man. Like, I hear the theme music. No, I think this is great. So before I go, if you're listening, you enjoy freedom, all right, give us the freedom to share more of this content with you. So please like, share, subscribe, all the above. Well, now back to the topic.
Wordplay, I love it.
But no, yeah, I think it's awesome. Just getting the experience, right? Like, so being there in the Baltic area, because you talked about Latvia, Ukraine, all that stuff. So we know obviously they're there to defend them against Russia. But then probably on the Pacific side, they're probably in Taiwan, the Philippines, right? They're probably protecting against China. It's great to have that. To get that contact with the enemy, right? Seeing how their methods work, their TTPs, like discern all this information for the eventual, you know, bigger fight when Russia and China tries to head this way or any of our Western allies, right? Mm-hmm. So it's good to be getting that exposure and then being invited. So that means that they're actually doing a good job, yeah, at least in demonstrations. Like, hey, this is what we can do. Like when I worked for the Joint Communications Support Element, right? So JCSE, we did a lot of demonstrations as well because it was comm guys for hire. So it's like, we have to go and dog and pony, like, here's all our capabilities. This is how we can work our way into your mission partner network and things of that nature. This is our capabilities. How can we then use these in your exercises to eventually, like, if it pops off, this is what we can provide you. Same thing. I'm sure they're going there showing, like, hey, this is how we are able to show our capabilities, and then they actually do demonstrate them, they get hired, and then that generates more work. It's like, okay, you helped us out in Latvia, now we need your help in I don't know, another Baltic country. Right. Estonia needs, yeah, support, right? And they're able to deploy there and do their thing. So yeah, give them the money. Like, give, like, up the budget. I don't have any fear of it not happening between administrations, because every administration seems to be getting more progressive when it comes to the funding of cybersecurity and all the above, because they're getting the intel that, yeah, mm-hmm, these near peers are very good at what they do. Like, we mentioned Russia, we mentioned China, but then you also have Iranian cyber teams, the North Korea cyber teams. Yeah. They're like, even though they probably are on a shoestring budget in North Korea, they're able to, their capabilities are pretty expansive, pretty impressive. So yeah, we need to be on our A game. So it's not a matter of just throwing money at something. It's a steady progression. Let's get this to be bigger, more dynamic. Because ultimately, like you said, it's not just us, it's an international thing. Like, if you attack, like, an impact in Ukraine was able to ripple and cause banking issues in the UK, right? And then so on and so forth. The internet, we're all connected. So it's good to have that type of defense, and I'm happy to see it. And these people are going to be badass when they eventually cycle out and come to the public and private sector. Like, these are the people you're going to want to hire to be your guys in charge of the red teams, your guys in charge of C2E2, DCO, and things of that nature. So it's a lot of acronyms. I don't remember what C2E2 stands for, but it's contested comms. I know that, but DCO, what was that? That was defense cyber operations or something like that. Yeah. I remember acronyms. I know where to put them. I can't always remember the words.
You also got the OTO too. You got the offensive, right? The OTO, yeah, as well. Yep.
So all the above, like, they're going to get really good at what they do. Then obviously it's the each one teach one. They're going to teach it down to the new people who come in, and then eventually they'll cycle out and come to the public and private sector, and they're going to be crazy. So we need this, and it's really good. Like, again, the Department of Defense is really good at bringing in new capabilities as well as policy, and then training, and then cycles out into the public and private sector. So, like, it feels kind of defeatist when you're in the pipeline, because you're like, we can't hold on to people. Like, they get paid so much more. But then when you get on the outside, you start to see these capabilities start to get cycled, and you're like, yeah, that's good. We need him. He has so many years, and we need her. She has so much experience. So it's really good out here. So I'm really excited to see it, and I can't wait to see what that capability looks like in the next cycle, like the next either the current administration, you know, the incumbent stays in, so Biden gets reelected, or Donald Trump gets elected again. But he was pro cyber when he was in, right? Like, all these administrations since the Clinton era have always been pro cyber. They just didn't know what it was, and it's just building capability. I don't know why that made me think of a funny story. Like, you know, there's a picture of Bill Clinton and my man who invented the internet.
Gore.
He claims to have invented it. He may have. Like, he might have been involved in diaper net. I don't know. I don't know where that story comes from. But it's a photo shoot / video of them running Ethernet cables through a school. I don't know if you've ever seen this. So the president's on a ladder, and then Al Gore is feeding him the cables. So, like, you know how we have the box of cabling and the string?
Yeah.
And they're doing that, right? And they, like, Secret Service is just out of the frame. But they're running it through a school. It's one of the first schools to get Ethernet capability, and it's the president helping to install it. It's crazy. Like, we went from there to where we're currently at.
Yeah.
But they've always been pro, you know, IT. They've always been pro, you know, the expansion of the internet, because the internet wasn't really a thing at that time. It was still being built up, right? The dot-com bust didn't happen yet, all that other stuff. And now look at us. Like, we're spending billions of dollars to defend freedom worldwide. So I love to see it.
So something you brought up, right? You were talking about North Korea and the shoestring budget. Like, that, not much is required for this, right? It's not like you're paying $1 billion to build a ship, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not saying those types of things. I'm not saying those types of conventional weapons are not needed, right? But we may require less of them, knowing what the future holds, right? North Korea is not spending $1 billion to build all these ships and whatnot, like we are doing, like China is doing, like Russia is doing, right? But they don't have to. Like, they're already going to have the military members, right? They just got to train them up. They just got to give them, you know, different cyber tools, you know, that don't cost that much. And in some cases, they've stolen, right? They haven't paid anything for them, right?
Yeah.
They've gone and got that intellectual property or whatever it may be, and they've stolen these tools anyway. So it cost them really next to nothing. So, but the same thing has to happen here, right? Like, we should be able to divest more money because we should probably be building less ships, less planes, less tanks. You know what I mean? Because that's not how it's going to happen. And we brought this up several times. We saw what happened first before Russia went into Ukraine, right? They started to DDoS them. It was the cyber route. That's how it's going to happen. It's going to be a button click to bring down a website before it's one to launch a missile. That's just how it's going to go. It's the way of the future.
No, definitely, and they showed that beforehand, right? They did the exercise with Georgia. When they rode into Georgia, same thing. They shut down all the banking. They started pushing propaganda before one tank rode in. So you see the evolution to Ukraine, and then so on and so forth. So it won't be ICBMs. It like you said, it'll be a button click. It'll be a prompt. It'll be a script that they've placed in power plants and things of that nature. So, like, it's good to get this intel now before we have to defend the homeland, so to speak. So I'm all for it. Good episode. See, look at that. So again, please like, share, subscribe, all that good stuff. Keep subscribed to the newsletter. It's a work in progress. I'm getting to understand what you guys like, what you don't like, things of that nature. But now we're over 1,100, which is not bad, especially for our short run. And then all of those, like, the newsletters, just all the articles that we did throughout the week, right? It's just in condensed form. So definitely check out all those articles. They're on LinkedIn and Medium. You can find them by finding my social media presence. So hit up all the websites that go by our name, either the other side of the firewall, the other side of the FW, the Ask a CISSP, or you can hit me up personally. I'm at RyRy Security Guy. That's RyRy Security Guy. You can find me on LinkedIn, Clubhouse, Twitter, Threads, IG, TikTok for the short period of time. Let's say that divest, right? Everywhere, just by looking at those things. Facebook and all that other stuff too. So just trying to build something up. Please like, share, subscribe. At the minimum, click the thumbs up. Like, just give us some engagement, and it will do It'll bode well for us, and we can continue to expand. We'll hit that 500 cap of subscribers, and then we'll eventually reach 1,000. And that's when we can really do stuff with the material. So thank you. Appreciate you. Stay safe. Stay secure.